Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that one was that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, Bob.
He's cracking the whip.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Gin, Game, and Chewy.
Here, I thought last week was going to be the last time we talked with Rob Domofsky. I was wrong. Hand up on me. Rob, are you fired up today, or have you calmed down since you've last appeared on ESPN Wisconsin?
I finally got some sleep over the weekend once this all this stuff was done, so I think I'm mellow, Gabe.
All right, that's good. I just didn't know if Josh needed to hover the finger over the dump button or not. So you were the one who broke the news that this deal, that it's done, obviously, for whatever reason in the NFL, coach contracts, they operate under cloak and dagger. We never know, you know, exact details, but... based on everything that kind of happened this past week, do you feel this was the right move for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, wow, that's a big matzo ball. I'll say this. My job as a beat writer is to tell people what happened, why it happened, give them context, give them information they didn't already have. My job is not to make an opinion. I know I'm on the show to give some opinions. I think it could have gone either way. I really believe that it could have gone either way. Ed Policy felt like this was the right way to go. If you guys are interested, I can sort of take you through what I was told about how the week, went on. So from what I was able to understand from talking to multiple people, that and everyone wants to know why the contract took so long, right? Like that's the big question. The contract actually took one day. They did not start negotiating until Friday morning, and by Friday evening, they had a handshake agreement in place.
So is that before or after they were seen having drinks? I mean, they were caught.
At the American Club. Let's go backwards. So from what I was told, Ed Policy met with Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur Sunday afternoon, right? That would have been the day after the game. Mm-hmm. Met with them each individually. And at that point, he told them he wanted to extend each of their contracts. They did not meet, or they met then again Monday as a group to make sure that they were the right combination, the right foursome of people to take this team where they wanted to go. I was told that Policy felt like the four of them needed to spend some uninterrupted time together to make sure they were all aligned. But they couldn't do that until basically Wednesday and Thursday, because the first two, three days after the season, the coaches have to meet with the head coach has to meet with the assistants. The exit interviews take place. The GM sometimes meets with players on their way out. There's medical, there's physical. So by the time all that stuff wasn't done till Wednesday. And then apparently Thursday is when they went down to the American Club, just had a full day of session. And, you know, the whole thing about going out for a drink afterwards, they had a long day of work and they went out for a drink. And, you know, obviously somebody saw him and told Tom Silverstein. It's amazing.
It's a good place to get a drink, Rob. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a good place. It's a great place.
Yeah, I don't know if they were at the Horse and Plow Bar or there's another bar down in the basement, I think, at the American Club. But, yeah, I love that place. But so that's basically how it went down. They wanted to get LaFleur's contract done first because that was just the most pressing in terms of assistant coaches, you know, firing and hiring, which I think is the next step. I'm sure that's what you're probably going to ask next is what changes are coming on the coaching staff. And I think, you know, we'll probably start to find that out in the next day or so.
So Policy had no intention going into this negotiation as a hardcore negotiator where his firing might have been on the table.
Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he told them right away. Whether it was either Sunday or Monday, I think it must have been Sunday in those individual meetings that he wanted to extend all three of those guys. So, that was I guess those reports, Chewy, about how he wasn't coaching for his job against the Bears were probably right.
So what's your guess, Rob, on the amount of years?
My guess, and this is a total guess because these terms are really hard to find out. My guess is they added 3 years to it, which means he has four total, would be my guess, because obviously 1 year left.
Okay, then I don't feel as bad. What I don't want is for him to get another pass. If he has the same season as he did this past one, gone.
Yeah, you can. Sure, you can get rid of him. And here's the thing, too. Like, I shouldn't say there's going to be 10 openings next year because there were 10. That'd be two thirds of the league turning
in 2 years. Yeah. Although LaFleur is now the fourth longest tenured head coach in the league now.
Yeah, I was just going to look that up. I'm glad you said that. Was it 2022? There were 10 openings, I believe.
Yeah.
And now in 2025, there's 10. So here's the thing: like, if you have to fire him next year, you know, and you have to eat 3 years of the contract, you're not really eating 3 years of the contract because he's going to get another job. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's all those, you know, it's all offset, right? As if you don't double dip as a head coach. Now you don't lose any money. You know, if you had a job for $10 million and the next place is paying you $5 million, your old team still has to pay you $5 million. Obviously, I'm just using those as round numbers. It's more than that. And you can't, you know, the next team can't just say we'll hire you for $1. Like that's not. There are rules against that, right? I think it has to be like you can't be more than 20% less for the same job or something like that. So it's not like they're gonna get. You know, they're going to bust their reserve fund, which is at like, you know, $550, $600 million. So, I don't think this prevents them from firing him. The interesting thing to me in this is that the structure didn't change. At least it didn't change right now.
So that is mm-hmm. the interesting thing to me as well, Rob. And I know that they're working, and that was a part of your report over the weekend as well, that they got the LaFleur, you know, contract done, and now it's, you know, they're working on Ball and they're working on Goody. And because they didn't change the structure, is it safe to say that these three are all kind of tied together and they're either going to succeed or fail together?
Well, I would think for sure the coach and GM, you know, the contract negotiator, which is what basically Russ Ball is, he's got a fancy title. I mean, he has been through multiple, right? He came here, I believe, did Ted Thompson hire him, if I'm not mistaken? So he's been doing this for a while with multiple GMs and multiple head coaches. So I sort of look at that as sort of a separate entity. Now Russ is not getting any younger. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. My guess is Russ has got to be in his mid-60s. I hope I didn't insult him if he's younger than that.
He's younger.
Okay, now I have to find. Now let's see if Russ Ball is 66. So
all right, you nailed,
I,
you nailed it. You nailed it.
I was pretty good about that one. I would have felt terrible if he was like 57 years old. So, you know, Russ, who knows how much longer Russ is going to do it anyway. And that's an important job that they better have somebody groomed for. You know, Chad Brinker, who's now with the Titans, was sort of grooming for that here. He went from scouting to the financial side toward the end of his time here. But anyway, you know, I think the structure game would be really hard to change with the same people, same coach and GM around. Like, that doesn't mean that you know, next time around, even if, let's say under Chewy's scenario that they're, you know, they win 7 or 8 games next year, they make a change with the coach, but they keep the GM, they could always rewrite Goody's job description and put you know, the head coach under him, which, again, I know, I think I told you guys this before, from what I was told, you know, this was months ago when Policy took over, that he would prefer the old structure. It was just really hard to get to when you have, you know, the same guys in place and all of a sudden changing reporting, you know, who your boss is without changing the people in the organization. It's one thing to get a different boss if there's, you know, people coming and going, but with the same group together, I guess I understand why you might not want to do it. I still think you could have, but I understand why they did.
So, Rob, is it your understanding that no demands were placed on LaFleur to change anyone on the staff?
That I don't know, Chewy. And you know, it's possible that Matt went in those early meetings before they even started negotiating and said, hey, here's my vision. I am going to do this or that. You know, I don't know that. But there's going to be some changes. Like, they're not coming back with the same coaching staff. That's, you know, last year, last offseason, what, only the D-line coach was fired after last year. I think there'll be more than one coaching position change, whether it's coordinator, position coach, whatever. That's the next thing I, you know, to start working on is trying to find out what's going on there. So I don't know if it was demands or if Matt just, you know, preemptively went in there and said, hey, look, I know we need to make some changes and I will. I suspect that, but I don't know.
Talking with Rob Domofsky as we do each and every Monday. It seems like they're going to need a new defensive coordinator, Halfley getting some second round of interviews. It just, again, reading between the lines on some of the reporting around him in Miami, it seems like he's the favorite there. Not that he's necessarily going to get that job, but are the Packers hoping that opens quickly so then they can start moving on figuring out replacements for him?
Yeah, and I think it will. I mean, the jobs will, you know, once you start filling one or two jobs, the rest of them come in pretty quickly, unless it's somebody, you know, that's in the playoffs and can't be hired yet. But it doesn't sound like, you know, I mean, maybe Miami's waiting to interview somebody on one of these four remaining teams. I would think this week a lot of those jobs will start to get filled and the Packers will know if they need a new defensive coordinator or not. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, DeMarcus Covington is the D-line coach here. He was or will interview for the Cowboys defensive coordinator job. He had been a defensive coordinator in New England for a very short time before he came here. So, I mean, that's probably one guy on the staff that if that's the way they go, that it might go to. But I think, you know, other than him, I'm not sure there's a lock on this defensive staff to be the next coordinator. So that's going to be more, you know, with thinking outside search, you know, see where they can go there. But it's going to have to, you know, we got to wait and see what jobs get filled with what people.
Rob, were you surprised by the McDermott firing?
Not really, Chewy. I mean, there have been a lot of smoke there, and this is going to sound crazy, but the first thing I thought of when I saw that about a half hour ago was not only did they lose in the playoffs, not only have they, you know, kind of never gotten as far as people wanted them to, but they're opening a new stadium in Buffalo. And I I'm not so sure that wouldn't play a factor in trying to build excitement around this team, the Bills, right? Because it's almost like a new era, a fresh start. Again, maybe I'm crazy to think that would have something to do with it, but that was kind of my first thought is, you know, they want to go into a new stadium with a fresh approach to football after doing the same thing for, what was it, 9 years with him? How many years? Yeah.
8 or 9.
So, yeah, he was there for 9. Yeah. He was there for 9 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's been, you know, not unlike Matt LaFleur, there's been talk for the last, you know, around the last few months about this possibly happening.
Whenever they get the other deals done, Rob, A, do you think they're, I mean, again, this is the Packers, so they don't always announce everything. And like, I'm not even sure, would we have known that Goody and LaFleur had 2 years left on their contracts had policy not said something at the beginning of the season to you guys?
Well, so I'm trying to think how it happened. When they did so we knew at the start in 2018, Goody did a 5-year deal, LaFleur did 4. So then therefore they were coming up in 2022. And we knew they extended them then. And we must have known what the years were then based on sourcing. I would think eventually at some point, you know, through agents or other people in the league that, you know, it will get out exactly what the time is on those. From what person I talked to, did sort of joke that the Packers probably don't want it out this time so that it's not in a, you know, a situation where everybody does a lame duck situation and then the pressure's on them. I mean, so like last summer, we sort of knew what the timeline was. We just needed somebody to confirm it and policy. I think, I don't remember exactly, but he must have confirmed it in that meeting. Or maybe it was just known and he addressed the lame duck thing. So I don't know that he ever came out and said, yes, for sure, these guys have one more year left on their deal after this one. I think we just sort of figured it out.
Is there any chance once they finalize these deals that he holds a press conference to talk about it?
I think Ed Policy will speak when this is all wrapped up. And Goody still technically has to talk. Goody does an end of year thing every year, and I don't think they wanted to put him up there
without extension,
including his own situation, right? So I would suspect that we would hear from Ed Policy some point this week, and possibly Gutekunst as well.
I think that, and I think that's going to be valuable just because we don't have many data points of, okay, how does this guy handle situations outside of when he talked to you guys before the season?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically talked twice since he was named president, once in that session with us and once at the shareholders meeting on July, whatever date that was, 25th or 3rd or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important for the Packers to put him, you know, up there. I mean, he's the figurehead of this organization, and it's important for him to be visible. So I do think we will definitely hear from Ed at some point. And, you know, at that point, you know, I think one of the interesting things is not only why he decided to keep the coach and GM, but why he decided to keep the structure. And it's, I mean, all we know right now is that it is staying the same. We don't know why.
Rob, we certainly appreciate the time, my friend. And again, looking forward. This is just the tip of the iceberg to me. I think the offseason is just going to get more and more interesting from here.
Well, my handy contract here says that we talk up to the Super Bowl.
You thought you were
We're going to sign you to a new extension, Rob. Don't worry about it. All right.
You thought you were rid of me last week. We go up to the Super Bowl, so that would be what, two or three more of these?
Yeah, two or three more. Yeah, okay. You know, again, I apologize. I mean, you at the beginning we hear about how you feel like a jerk. I feel like a jerk because I'm like, oh, Rob, we love you. He did all this good work, and then we just welcome him back the next week like nothing.
Well,
happened.
Hopefully Homer forgets, and I don't have to talk to him tonight because I'm not ready to be grilled by him again.
All right. Well, we'll see if he. Well, no, you don't have to worry about that. Marquette plays tonight. There's no Homer hour tonight. Marquette's playing on MLK Day, so you don't have to worry about grilled by Homer.
All right, Belaga and I will just talk off the air and do our little thing.
Sounds good. Appreciate you, Rob.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
See you guys.
Rob Domofsky joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every Monday running up to the Super Bowl. We check out the polls coming up next.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.